Good evening, everyone. It's really good to see you here for our Advent Carol service. This is the third Sunday in Advent. And Martin is going to come and light the Advent candles for us. So this is the third Sunday in Advent, and the third candle is the candle of joy, reminding us all of the angels who sang a message of joy. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks as night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So we pray, Lord Jesus, light of the world, the prophet said you would bring peace and save your people in trouble. Give peace in our hearts at Christmas and show all the world God's love. Amen. The service will proceed with little by way of announcements or introductions. If those who are reading will come up at the point in the order of service where they are due to read, and we will stand to sing the carols at the appropriate points after the readings. So our first carol, number 13, "Please stand if you're able, O come all ye faithful."
Glory give. Word of
Do be seated as we pray together. Advent. Christ has come. He is our salvation, and ours is a living witness in the power of the Spirit. Advent. Christ will come. He is our hope, and our life this Christmas is lived in the light of this hope. God, our Creator, we worship you as the God who comes. In past ages, you always drew near to your people. You came in the words of the prophets, in the glory of the kings, in the mystery of sacrifice, and in the still small voice of love. We worship you as the God who comes, and in Jesus you have come to us and shared our human life. You come in his sacrifice of love for us, in his words that reach to the very heart of things, and in his triumph over hostile powers and over death. We worship you as the God who comes, for still you come to show us how to live. You come in the casual word and the careful meeting, in crisis when everything seems against us, and in success, when everything seems for us. You come and meet us, meeting with us in our worship. We worship you as the God who comes, and we praise you today as the one who is to come. Our Father, forgive us because we were not watching when you came to us. We did not notice your coming in another's need. Forgive us that we had become so familiar with you that we were expecting nothing new at all. We were caught unawares by your coming. We did not know what to say or what to do. And so, Father, we ask that you would come to us now in your mercy and forgive us. And we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ who says, I have come to give you life. Life in all its fullness. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In this Advent season and in the celebration of Christmas, we ask that you would come to be present amongst our families and those with whom we share our lives. Come to those in need, those who are suffering or bereaved, those who are fearful, those who are caught up in violence and wars of this world. Through your presence, may the world know your love, your justice, and your peace. Advent. Christ has come. He is our salvation, and may our lives be a living witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Advent. Christ will come. He is our hope, and may we live our life this Christmas in the light of this hope. Living in the hope of the second coming of Christ, may we be peacemakers, reconcilers, and encouragers of others. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we come to the first section of our service, Hope for the Future.
The first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, God's call to be a blessing to the nations. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious of all, with angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still the heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above it sad and moaning, I am the music floats. And the sad and lonely, beneath the angels' strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noisy men of strife, and hear the angels sing. The days are hastening on, by prophet God's foretold, when in the end of the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole earth send back the song which now the angels sing.
The promise of restoration. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion will and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat the straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Kingdom. establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
So here we are during the Christmas season. There are high expectations. People are supposed to be happy and celebrating. If you see the adverts on the television, we see tables laid out with all sorts of goodies that probably most of us can't afford, let alone those who are struggling on family allowance. Yet statistics, of course, tell us that suicides and family breakdowns are far more common at this time of year. How do we reflect the meaning and purpose of Christmas and Advent? How do we find a happy Christmas? The true meaning of Christmas gets lost in all the other aspects of Christmas. There are cards and there are crackers. There are decorations. There are lights shining on our tree. We light up. There are so many other things. There are Christmas songs and carols. And there's Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem. There's King Herod. There's Christmas dinner. There's midwinter celebrations. There's Merry Christmas. Emmanuel. Jesus in a manger. A Christmas football match, wise men, presents, Father Christmas, Rudolph, angels. Now, of course, we could separate these out, couldn't we? There are some things in there that are distinctly part of the Christian celebration of Christmas. But many of the others are simply part of our local traditions. So to get back to the true meaning of Christmas, we've got to start removing some of these things. So let's remove the cards. Let's remove the lights. If I can find the button to switch them off. Let's remove those. And the stocking for presents. Not full. Santa hasn't come yet. And then, of course, there are Christmas clothes, Christmas jumpers. And there's all the other bits and pieces that we put around the house too. There's the flowers and the ivy. There are the bits of tinsel. There's a nice wreath to hang on the door. More tinsel. And then also we have here a star to decorate the house. And of course, once we remove all of these things, we find that underneath we have the cradle with the baby. We are so good at covering up the meaning. To get back to the meaning of Christmas, we need to remove the cards, the decorations, the lights, the songs, the carols, the Christmas dinners, the parties, Father Christmas, and of course Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We unwrap Christmas and find that underneath is the creator of the universe, born as a human baby, sharing the vulnerability and suffering of the people living under the occupation of a foreign army. And we might think of why some people find the celebration of Christmas so difficult. If you are sad, if you're suffering, if you're short of money, all the glitz and the glitter, the noise and the overindulgence may be a little bit hard to take. But when Christmas is unwrapped, God sharing my life, sharing my pain, sharing my fears, as well as my joy and my celebration, then Christmas may look very different. So let's talk about the promise being fulfilled.
Promised one is to be born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Among unbelief and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in my dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O morning stars together, bewail the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all on earth. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming in this world of sin, meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
The angel's message to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her.
Silent night, holy child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quail at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. Oh, the rising of the sun and the dwelling of the deer, the laying of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. Holy bears are open, as bright as any Jesus Christ, to be our sweet Saviour. Oh, the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. The holy bears are buried, as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to do poor sinners good. rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. Oh, the running of the swan and the running of the deer, playing of the merry organ, singing in the choir. Holly bears a bark as bitter as any gall, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ for to redeem us all. And the running of the sun and the running of the deer, the merry of the merry organ, she's singing in the choir. The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. With the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the merry of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. One thing I've learnt since coming to Odal is that people like quizzes. There's always a quiz or two in the village hall. The WI has a quiz. There's all sorts of other places that we go where we seem to be faced with a quiz. So I thought we'd have a quiz. And of course, one thing that everybody wants to know is whether they've got the answer right or wrong. So let's have a look. Question number one. Where was Jesus born? A, a stable. B, an inn. C, a cave. Well, I could ask for a show of hands, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. We've all seen nativity scenes on our Christmas cards where Jesus is pictured being born in a nice wooden stable. In the original records that tell us about Jesus' birth in the Bible, it says that Jesus was born in a place where they kept the animals. Well, and we might imagine that would be a nice stable. But you see, in New Testament times, much as it was in this country until perhaps about 500 years ago, they kept the animals wherever they lived. The animals lived with the people. They would live in part of the house. In Bethlehem, where there's the Church of the Nativity, it's built over the place where they believe that Jesus was born. And if you go down under that church, what you find is a cave. So the answer to the question was C, a cave. Question number two. What part does a donkey play in the Christmas story? Mary rode on it to Bethlehem. A donkey isn't mentioned. It's one of the creatures in the stable. Well, we all know our Christmas carols in school where we sang about the little donkey who carries Mary. The little donkey on the dusty road, gotta keep on plodding onward with your precious load. Been a long time, little donkey, through the winter's night. Don't give up now, little donkey, Bethlehem's in sight. Ring out those bells tonight, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Follow little star tonight, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, little donkey had a heavy day. Little donkey, carry Mary safely on her way. It's probably enough of me singing. This carol was written by Eric Boswell, and it was first sung by Gracie Fields in 1959. Probably sounded a bit different from what it was this evening. Now, we've probably all seen nativity plays with Mary on a donkey. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph had to travel between 70 and 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But we don't know how they got there. Well, they might have had a donkey. They might have used a cart. They might even have ridden on a camel. When we look through the original records, when we look at the Bible to find we try to find where an idea of a donkey came from, and we find that a donkey isn't mentioned at all. So the answer was B, a donkey isn't mentioned. Well, let's come to question three. What was the weather like? Cold and frosty? Hot and sunny? Or we've got no idea. On our Christmas cards and in some of our carols, we talk about being cold and frosty and snow. But the weather where Jesus was born was often rarely cold or frosty. It was usually hot and sunny. However, when we look at the original records, we find that no one tells us what the weather was like. So the answer to this one was C. We have no idea. Question four. What time was Jesus born according to the angel? In the middle of the night, this very day, or early in the morning? In the Bible story, the shepherds were on the hillside when some angels appeared and told them that the baby Jesus had been born. And often we think about Jesus being born in the middle of the night, as the popular carol "On a Starry Night" says. A starry night, when the hills were bright, earth lay sleeping, sleeping calm and still. Then in a cattle shed, in a manger bed, a boy was born, King of all the world. And all the angels sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born, King of all the world. But of course, when we look at the original records, when we go back and look at the Bible, we see that the angels said that Jesus had been born this very day. The answer then was B, this very day. But then let's just have one more question. Where do we read about the manger scene in the Bible? All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or B, Matthew, Luke, and John? Or C, only Luke? In the Bible, there are four books which talk about the life of Jesus. These Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At Christmas, we put great emphasis on the birth of Jesus. And so we might assume that all four accounts of the gospel would include the story of the manger and the birth of Jesus. But actually, when we look at those gospel accounts, they're much more concerned about what Jesus did when he grew up, what he said, what he did. And so when we look at the original records, we find that only Luke talks about the manger scene. So the answer is Luke. Well, let's go on then and look at the birth of Jesus.
The angel's message to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they said they had been told.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. "Fear not," he said, "for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. A heavenly babe you shall find, whom anew displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger laid." Thus spake the seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, who thus addressed their joyful song: "All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Good will henceforth from him to men begin and never cease."
Wise men from the east come to worship. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs and teachers of the law, he asked them where Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of might, star with royal beauty bright, rest for leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy magic light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all are raising, worshipping God Most High. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Heaven sings Alleluia, Alleluia, the earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The light shines in the darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Please do be seated. So what does Christmas mean when it's unwrapped? When we've taken off the wrappings of a commercial celebration? Perhaps Steve Turner, the poet, can help. His poem is called "Christmas is Really for the Children." Christmas is really for the children, especially for children who like animals, stables, stars, and babies wrapped in swaddling clothes. Then there are wise men, kings in fine robes, humble shepherds, and a hint of rich perfume. Easter is not really for the children, unless accompanied by a cream-filled egg. It has whips, blood, nails, a spear, and allegations of body snatching. It involves politics, God, and the sins of the world. It's not good for people of a nervous disposition. They'd be better to think about rabbits, chickens, and the first snowdrops of spring. Or they'd do better to wait for a rerun of Christmas without asking too many questions about what Jesus did when he grew up and whether there's any connection. For Christmas to be unwrapped, we need to look to Jesus when he was grown up. It's the grown-up Jesus, his words and his actions, which the gospel writers tell us about. The grown-up Jesus shows us the life that God wants for us and for all people on earth, a life of love and peace, forgiveness and acceptance, truth and joy, and most of all, hope and contentment. Creation has meaning and is a demonstration of the majesty and the creativity and the love of the Creator. But in Jesus and his death for a rebellious people, we see the value that God places on human lives, the love that God has for us, and the purposes that God has for each of our lives. And in the resurrection of Jesus, we see the one who accompanies us through life, through death, and into eternal life. What would it be like if Christmas didn't happen? Would that make us happy? Of course not. Standing in a candlelit church, at a school carol service, the words and melodies of the carols still move a warm, goodwill to everyone kind of way for us. After all, we've been singing them year after year since we were children. It can be a celebration of light and human warmth to get through the dark days of winter. It's about family ties and giving thanks for people we love most in the world. So many of the carols use human experience as a metaphor for loving God. Mary's tenderness for her little child in Once in Royal David's City. Cliff Richard, in 2003, had a Christmas hit, number one, called Mistletoe and Wine, and it sums up so much of the various Christmas themes. Lindsay's going to play it. I'm not going to try and imitate Cliff Richard, you'll be glad to know. The child is a king, the carolers sing. The old has passed, there's a new beginning. Dreams of Santa, dreams of snow, fingers numb, faces aglow. It's Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme. With logs on the fire and gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see. A time for living, a time for believing, a time for trusting, not deceiving. Love and laughter and joy ever after, ours for the taking, just follow the Master. It's a time for giving, a time for getting, a time for forgiving and forgetting. Christmas is love, Christmas is peace, a time for hating and fighting to cease, a time to rejoice in the good that we see. Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme, with logs on the fire and gifts on the tree. When Christmas is unwrapped, we find that in Cliff's words, it is a time for living, a time for believing, a time for trusting, not deceiving, love and laughter, joy ever after, ours for the taking, just follow the Master. May we do just that. And find joy and hope and peace and life with God this Christmas and until we meet Him face to face. Please join with me as we sing our final carol, Joy to the World.
Sing and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world.
Saviour reigns. Let our tongues employ, while fields and fields, crops halls and plains, repeat the sounding joy, sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love.
We wanted to share our Christmas here as a church with those who are not likely to have a good Christmas. And so we have a retiring offering in aid of SMART, the Preben Centre for the Homeless People of Bedford. And there is, just as you go out on the left-hand side of the door, there is a glass jar there to receive our gifts. And so we end with a blessing. Loving God of Advent, we await your coming, and we anticipate your revelation, and we long for your unveiling. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Amen.